sitting over here on the fourth row from the front. She took her Bible every night, read it to me when I was a boy. She's almost 90. She's just past 93 now, but 94 in December. And over 50 years ago, every night, she'd kiss me goodnight, and she'd say, "Son, I love you." And then she'd say, "Jesus loves you." My mother taught me with a lamp of a kerosene light and with the heat of a wood stove in a little two-room shack much of the time that Jesus loves me. We walked 2 miles one day to that little two-room shack down Ann Arbor Road to the Fernwood Baptist Church, and there a little Sunday school teacher for the first time put me on her knees, looked at my little patched khaki trousers and my little white T-shirt and my little bare feet sticking out beneath those trousers. And that little teacher put me on her knee and said to the boys and girls, "We have a visitor this morning." Their feet were covered by shoes. Their necks were graced by ties. Their T-shirts and undershirts were covered by white shirts. The little girls were covered with lovely dresses. My feet were the only ones exposed. And that teacher said, "Jackie boy, did you know that Jesus loves you?" And I said the first words I said that morning. I said, "Does he love me as much as he loves the little boys that have on shoes and shirts and ties?" With a tear escaping from her eye and dropping on my brow, she said, through quivering lips, "I guess, Jackie boy, he probably loves you more than he loves anybody in this room today." I've never gotten over that. I'm no longer five. I'm 49 years past five now. I'm on the end, I guess is the end, last few days of middle age. But I'm just as amazed today, 49 years later, that God loves me. Last Wednesday afternoon, my youngest daughter, Cindy, went to labor. She labored, I think, 14 hours or so. Anyway, she went to hospital. And I was about to see her late at night. She was laboring, but they wouldn't let me stay up there. And her husband and I both couldn't stay up there. So he was selfish and insisted that he stay. And then about 4 o'clock, they called and said they had to rush her to surgery immediately so she'd give birth by cesarean section. And so I went to the hospital, and I guess all of us in these days when our children and grandchildren are born by cesarean section, I guess the first thing we think about is that little Mrs. Dumphy who a few months ago went to heaven from that condition. And so naturally, I guess maybe a little more apprehension than usual. And then the doctor came and said she was all right. And I had to go to the airport to preach Thursday night. And so I was walking down the corridor. And I've been thinking about this passage for a long time. "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." I've been examining the depths of that word everlasting. I've been climbing and scaling the heights of that word everlasting. I've been traveling to the width of that word everlasting. And I've been thinking about it a lot. And I was walking down the car to the hospital. And I was humming, as I so often do, "I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given." And I was walking down, you know, and didn't realize how loud I was saying it. And for those folks were looking at me. "And I am so glad that Jesus loves me." And I sung it and singing it, walking down the car. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me how good God is. And I got thinking what I was singing. And I was thinking how good God's been to me. And soon my heart was overflowing. Maybe a little bit of it was because of Cindy being all right. I'm sure that had something to do with it. But before I knew it, right in the middle of a big old airport, people everywhere, I said, "Hallelujah!" And people looked around at me, and I stared at them, too. They're the nutty ones. I'm not the nutty one. God loves him, too. They ought to be saying the same thing. And And boy, all I could do to keep my shoes on. I used to take my shoes off when I have a fit, but I walked down checked in the gate to get my seat, and the ticket agent said, "You want no smoking or smoking?" I said, "Praise the Lord." He said, "What's that?" I said, "I'm sorry," and I was just couldn't help it. Just saying, amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God. And then I thought of this verse. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And suddenly, there was more joy. And I was overcome, as I often am, or almost always am, when I think of the love of God. I'm known as a hellfire and brimstone preacher, and I do preach hellfire and brimstone. But my favorite subject is the love of God. I don't mind preaching on the judgment, and I do it. But my favorite subject is the love of God. Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Break the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it, and shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. So I got on the airplane, opened my Bible to Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And I got thinking about the word everlasting. I've been thinking about it an awful lot lately. First, it means that His love never had a beginning. We think about everlasting life means you get saved, you live now on. You get saved, you've been living from now past, too. An everlasting love. You say, Brother House, you mean Jesus, God always loved me? Yep, that's what I mean. God always loved you. Well, how did God know me? Oh, the great infinite heart of God. One day God looked down in eternity and saw that you would come. And God never did. He never did find out you would come. He always knew you would come. But you said, I can't understand that. Aren't you glad you can't understand God? Wouldn't it be a little God if you could understand Him and I could understand Him? God loved me everlasting. It never had a beginning. Before Adam fell, He loved me. Before man was made, He loved me. Before the mountains were erected, He loved me. Before the blue canopy was stretched across the sky, He loved me. Before the pier holes were dug for the foundation of the world, and before they were poured, He loved me. Before a star twinkled at dusk, He loved me. Before the sun was plugged in, He loved me. Before the moon was turned on, He loved me. Before a flower bloomed, He loved me. Before a cloud erupted, He loved me. Before a lake was poured, He loved me. Before a canyon was carved, He loved me. Before a mountain was constructed, He loved me. Before God blew worlds from off the palm of His hand, He loved me. When God dwelt in eternity all alone, before there was a world, before there was a sun, before there was a star, before there was a moon, before there was a man, before there was a tree, before there was a mountain, before there was a river, before there was carved a gorge, God loved me. He never began to love me. One day in eternity, God began to create. And one day, God began to redeem. But God never began to love me. His love is eternal. Oh, my mother said to me when I was a boy, son, before I ever knew you, I loved you. Ask any mother about that. Ask a mother who carries a babe in her bosom for 9 months. In the case of Paula Hiles, she's 16 months pregnant now, the way she looks. But you ask Cindy this morning as she hugs her baby to her breast, and the baby seeks succor from his own mother, and she wraps her arms around flesh of her flesh and blood of her blood and bone of her bone, and feels those little hands reaching for mommy's breast, and feels those little lips around her breast, and feels that little face against hers, and you ask her when she started loving that little baby. Oh, listen, God loved me before I was born, before the world was made. God loved me with an everlasting love. And then I thought of this. I thought, God, not only His love never had a beginning, but His love never pauses. Never pauses. He's loved me without a pause. His love for me never has an intermission. His love is never interrupted. Time out is never called. It never knows a recess. No wonder the Apostle Paul wrote and said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ, or tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Man, all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life,
death, nor life, nor angel, nor principle, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ah, Seder boy, He loved you when you were in sin. He loved you when you didn't do right. He loved me when I was a child and didn't live like I ought to live. He loved me when I was away from Him. He loved me when I doubted Him. He loved me when I was a freshman in Texas University, North Texas branch of Texas University, and wicked professors shook my faith in this Bible. And there for a whole semester, I wrestled in my soul, is this book the Word of God, or is it not the Word of God? Is Mama right, or is the professor right? And yet in those days when I was doubting Him, He loved me. When I wondered if His book was true, He loved me. His love never started. His love never ceases. His love never pauses. As Jonah in the deep, in the belly of the fish, if the love of God ever pauses. As Peter when he cursed, if God's love ever ceases. As Jacob when he was backslidden, away from home and away from God, if God's love ever ceases. As David when he sinned, if sin can separate. Ask Elijah if height can separate the love of God. Ask Jonah if death can separate us from the love of God. Ask Paul if tribulation can separate us from the love of God. Ask John the Baptist if sword can separate us from the love of God. Ask David if peril can separate us from the love of God. Ask Daniel if persecution can separate us from the love of God. Ask the Hebrew children if principalities can separate us from the love of God. Ask Jacob if famine can separate us from the love of God. You'll never go in sin that's deep enough to go beyond the love of God. You'll never go so far from God, but God's love is not waiting for you when you get there. God heard, loved you when you were a drunkard. He loved you when you swore. He loved you when you had evil thoughts and evil desires. He loved you when you were unlovable. He loved you when you were unloved. He loved you when you were unloving. He loved you when you doubted Him. He loved you when you trifled with His Word. He loved you when you forgot to pray. He loved you that night you wish you could forget. He loved you that summer you'd like to erase. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. Bathe in it, sinner. God loves you today. Wallow in it, saint. God loves you today. Be baptized in it, friend of God. God loves you today. I know no better news. I know no better report. I know no better sound. I know no sweeter note. I know no more beautiful picture than God loves you, the Creator of the universe. God, the Omnipotent One, loves the weak one. God, the Omniscient One, loves the ignorant one. God, the Omnipresent One, loves the finite one. God, the Perfect One, loves the imperfect one. God, the Rich One, loves the poor one. God, the High One, loves the low one. God, Incarnate, loves you. Think about it. Well on it. Jump up and down and lift your heels together and shout glory to God. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. No wonder Job said, or John said, behold, what manner the Father's love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. No wonder Paul wrote, God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No wonder Jesus said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. No wonder the children sing Anna Warner's song, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. He loves you, saint of God, in senior years. He loves you who tottered to church this morning with palsied hands and quivering feet. He loves you whose hair is turned to silver and whose face is wrinkled and crow's feet have pierced your eyes. He loves you in the middle years of life with all the burdens of a financial load upon your shoulders. He loves you, young person, with all of life before you. He loves you, little child. He loves you, red and yellow, black and white. All are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. No wonder John Newton wrote, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. No wonder Charles Gabriel said, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. No wonder P.P. Bliss took his pen and wrote a song, "I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful love in the Bible I see, and this is the reason that Jesus loved me. I am so glad that Jesus loved me. Jesus loved me. Jesus loved me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me." No wonder an inmate in an asylum wrote on the wall of the asylum one day, "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe, I prayed, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the whole contain the scroll, though stretched from sky to sky." Hear me! God loves you this morning. But you say, "Preacher, you know what I've done. I've taken my hands and taken another's life." God loves you. But you say, "Preacher, I've gone into sin. I've been with the harlot and the prostitute." Hear me! God loves you. But you say, "Preacher, my hands have circled the bottle, and the crimson bottle has been in my possession. My lips have curled around its opening night after night after night." God loves you. But you say, "For the Hiles, I gave my body and sold it for a few dollars to the hands of wicked men in a house of ill repute." Hear me! God loves you! You'll never hear better news than that. You'll never hear a better report than that. You'll never know a better story than that. God loves you. No wonder Charles Wesley wrote, "Love divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down." No wonder J.M. Driver wrote, "Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again." No wonder Greenleaf Whittier wrote, "I know not where his islands lift their fronded palms in air. I only know I cannot drift beyond his love and care." Oh, thank God he loves you. Thank God he loves me. Thank God you cannot go to the highest with the sky, with the astronauts, but the love of God will be there. Go to the depth of the sea, the love of God will be there. Go to the farthest island and the most remote place and be exiled to your Patmos, but the love of God is there. Go to the depths of sin, the love of God is there. Go to the body house, the love of God is there. Go to Skid Row and vomit what you've drunk, but the love of God is there. Take your hands and make them bloody with the stain of the blood of somebody who's your victim, but the love of God is there. God loves you. God loves you. And God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. As I walked down the corridors of St. Margaret's Hospital of O'Hara Field, walked down the corridors of O'Hara Field, and clapping my hands and saying, "Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Amen!" I thought, His love never started. His love never ceases. And then, thank God, His love never ends. When the worlds have passed away, the love of God shall endure. When time shall be no more, the love of God shall be sure. When the sun has been unplugged and the stars refuse to twinkle, He'll still love me. When mountains are become valleys and valleys have become mountains, and the stars have fallen to the earth as untimely figs would fall prematurely from their limb, God will love me. God's love will never age, its hair will never whiten, its hands will never tremble, its back will never bend, its face will never wrinkle. When kings have perished and thrones have melted, God's love will stand secure. When the great white throne is history, and the millennium is only a fond memory, and those of us who walk golden streets through gates of pearl and live with the angels of God forever, God's love will still be fresh. And the rapture is ancient history. God still loves His people. And then I thought of two pronouns. I and thee. I have loved thee. Who loves me? The great Jehovah loves me. Who loves me? The I Am loves me. Who loves me? I mean, a couple years ago, I was walking right down that aisle on a Sunday night. Little girl, about 3 years old, little bus kid, cute as a bug. I guess I'd kissed her a few times. And she kissed me right there, and as I walked away, she said, "That's Dr. Jack Howes. He's pastor of this church. He kisses me." Yeah. That's the great omnipotent Heavenly Father. He loves me. He loves me. Who is this that loves me? He who has heaven for his throne and earth for his hassock, he loves me. Who loves me? The timekeeper of the sun loves me. The energy for the moon and the stars, the giver of all life, he loves me. Who loves me? The Shekinah in the temple loves me. The king loves the peasant. The prince loves the pauper. The scholar loves the illiterate. The diamonds love the gravel. Perfection loves depravity. Light loves darkness. The doctor loves germs. Truth loves error. Why? He who was rich became poor that I, through his poverty, might become rich. He loves me. Any child of God that can sit in a room like this and have a preacher stand up here for 30 or 35 minutes and say, he loves you. Hey, he loves you. He loves you. Something not tingling inside your soul this morning. You need an old-fashioned mourner's bench. God loves you, the creator of the universe. He loves you. He said, I have loved thee. It's a wonderful thing to be loved. I got more little Easter eggs this morning outside my door. And more cute little voices came through my door saying, I was with my owls. And I got more nickels and pennies and dimes and some sweet notes. It's a wonderful thing to be loved. I remember one of our football players several years ago came by the office. Big old husky high school football player. I said, what is it, son? He said, I just want to tell you something. I said, what is it? Well, he said, I don't know. I just want to tell you something. And I said, well, what is it? Well, he said, I just want to tell you once something. And I said, well, son, tell me. I'm here, and you got a mouth, and I got ears. Tell me. What is it? Well, he said, I'll tell you. I just want to tell you something. Well, I said, what is it? And he said, well, I just want to tell you. I said, tell me. He said, I just love you. That's all. And took around and walked down. He didn't know how to tell me. But I liked it. Everybody likes to be loved. Everybody like, oh, but when you stop to think that the maker of the universe loves you, the great omniscient creator, the omnipotent king of kings and lord of lords, the way, the truth, the life, the good shepherd, the bread of life, the living water, the true vine, the one who was before Adam was, and the one who made Adam, the great I am, the one who was and is, and was dead and is alive forevermore. He loves you this morning. He loves me. I thought of second pronoun. I have loved thee. I have loved thee. That's me. He loves me. I'm not very lovable, but he loves me. He doesn't love me because I'm pretty. He loves me because of his great heart of love. He doesn't love me because I'm good. He loves me when I'm bad. I looked at Cindy in the hospital and couldn't believe that she's her mother. You've done the same thing. But her little hands would take that which were not hers. I loved her. Her little feet would tread paths that they shouldn't have tread. I loved her. When I bent her little body, gave birth to a baby this week over my knee and laid this hand on her little bottom. Every time I laid my hand on her bottom, I was saying, I love you. I love you. God loves you. He loves you this morning if you're away from Him. He loves you this morning if you're not exalting Him. He loves you this morning if you're in sin. He wants you back. Oh, He wants you back. He holds his arms. I think of that passage over. Well, I've forgotten now. It's in Song of Solomon, chapter 3. I think it's verse 8, where it says, I can't think of it all of a sudden. It said, with his right arm he doth embrace me, his left arm he holds me. And I'll tell you a few chapters later, I think chapter 11 or so, it says, right arm should embrace me, and left arm should hold me. God holds his arms out this morning and says, I want you. I loved you. I gave my son for you. I love you. I want you to come into come to salvation. I want to come into your life. I love you. But you say, but God still loves you. But you say, no, I won't trust it. God still loves you. And God holds his arms out this morning. I was reading this last week, Hosea. Old Hosea, where God got upset with Ephraim. And he said, Ephraim is drawn to his idols. Let him alone. Let him alone. Don't preach to him. Don't witness to him. A little while later, God kept thinking about Ephraim. And he said, how can I give thee up, O Ephraim? How can I give thee up? And God got thinking about Ephraim and compared Ephraim to a child. And said, Ephraim, I taught you how to walk. I remember when you took your first step. I fed you when you were a child. I remember I got that spoon, your little head bobble like that, and I tried to hit your head. I remember when you got enough little food in, and out it came. Only about a tenth stayed in, out it came. I remember that. Ephraim, I recall how I used to pick you up and put you on my shoulder and burp you. And I remember that, Ephraim. And God said, Ephraim, I remember how you held my finger. Dave used to hold my finger like that. And I remember how I'd say, son, hold my finger. And he'd hold my finger. And I'd reach down. And I'd take his hand. We'd come to a mud puddle or something. I'd say, son, I'm going to hold on to you. No doubt, I want to hold on to your finger. And he'd hold on to my finger. And he'd fall in a mud puddle. And I'd say, son, let me hold on to you. And God said, Ephraim, I remember how I taught you how to walk. Remember how I fed you. He said, I can't give you up. I can't give you up. God loves you, sinner. He loved you enough to give His Son, and Jesus loved you enough to die for you. God loves you. God loves you, backslider. God loves you. He wants you. It breaks His heart when you don't serve Him. It makes Him unhappy when you don't live for Him. He longs for your fellowship. That's why He made you. God made you that you might have fellowship with Him. And it hurt, breaks the heart of God. It grieves the mighty heart of God. But God still loves you. He always loves you. And He holds His arms this morning. He loved me. He loved me. Finite. Weak. I guess the reason the love of God means so much to me is because of my childhood. Nobody else loved me. Kids laughed at me at school. Hey, look at the patches on the knees. Hey, still got 10 toes today, Jackie boy? They're all showing. Folks at church laughed at me some. But my mama told me that Jesus loved me, and that little Sunday school teacher told me that Jesus loved me. I don't know any better news than that. And then he said, I have drawn thee with loving kindness. I don't know what draws you to serve God. It may be a fear of hell that makes you come to God. I don't know. It may be the thought of the torments of the eternal fire that makes you come to God. And certainly, that's the worthy reason. The apostle did say, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. It may be. It may be that the judgment, the fear of judgment, is what draws you to God. And that's certainly worthy. And I'm not against it at all. It may be the fact that someday you've got to stand before God. And you do have to stand before God someday. And it may be that the fact that someday the great judge of the universe will stand, sit on the great white throne and call your name. It may be that's the thing that causes you to come to God and draws you to His presence. It may be the glories of heaven is what draw you to Jesus. It may be the streets that are paved with gold. And the foundation of all kinds of precious stone. It may be the land that is fairer than day draws you to Jesus. It may be, oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. It may be that's what draws you to Jesus. I don't know. It may be the thing that draws you is the fear of chastisement and His punishing you because you don't live for Him. And that's a worthy reason. It may be that you came to Jesus, and what draws you to Jesus is the joy and peace and satisfaction that He gives. That may draw you to Jesus. I don't know. It may be the things He provides. The goodness of God may lead you to repentance. But I'll tell you, Brother Dr. Evans, what draws me is love. I'll tell you why I preach. It's just love. I'll tell you why I go to the airport tomorrow morning and take a trip I don't want to take. It's just love. I'll tell you why I go off when I'm tired. Sometimes wish I could take a few hours off. It's just love. I'll tell you why I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. It's His love. The love of God draws me. His love. His love. And I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss and for contempt on all my pride.
see from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love! So amazing! So divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. God loves you. And I got on the airplane. I took the seat assigned to me. And I began to weep. And the stewardess came by and said, "Have you had a heartbreak?" And I said, "No, ma'am. Happy." She said, "Sir, have you had a serious tragedy?" I remember I used to sit in church and Mama would cry. And I'd say, "Mama, what are you crying for?" She said, "I'm happy." And you know, the happier she'd get, the more she'd cry. Jesus loves me, this I know. Sing it, for the Bible tells me. Amen. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Bathe in it. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Yes, He loves you this morning. What good news that is. He loves you, little bus kid, trying to cover up the patch in your trouser. He loves you, little bus kid, wondering if your mom and daddy will be home when you get home today. He loves you, little child, never heard your mom and daddy say, "I love you" one time. He loves you. He loves you, rescue mission man, with your lives, the past blighted sometimes with memories you'd like to erase. He loves you. He loves you, deaf people. Yeah. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. The Bible tells you so. He loves you. He loves you, sailor. He wants your life to count for Him. He wants to take you to heaven when you die. He loves you, teenagers, with all the decisions of life so soon to be made. He loves young married couples trying to find enough money to pay down on a home before it gets impossible for the young couples to know the American dream again anymore. He loves you. He loves you, drunkard. He loves you, fallen woman. He loves you, visitor. He loves you. Sing it or and o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful man. Christ receiveth sinful man.